Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So I'm looking at this article. Do you know who Frank Schwab is?
I know. Yeah, I know.
Yahoo Sports?
Yeah, he's a writer for Yahoo.
Here. Yahoo Sports. He's written an article. How did this get so bad so fast? The Texans are... And they and Detroit are the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, it's an amazing thing, and he points this out. How long ago was 24-7?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
two football seasons. Yeah,
right. They were up 24-7.
Was it one football season ago?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I was in New Orleans for the 2019 national championship with LSU.
January of 20 is when it went down.
Yeah, January 20, right? Not 19, 20.
Ooh, man,
it was 24-0.
It was 24.
Yeah,
to nothing.
24-0.
Nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. 24-0 to this.
But it was always a little bit smoke and mirrors. Like especially in that game, it was smoke and mirrors. You had some bad. You had turnover that went your way. You had bad special teams play by Kansas City. You had some things happen that you needed to happen. But still, once you get that, you could have strangled out Kansas City with a better running game. Remember, a pick six
a blocked punt for a touchdown that went the Texans' favor.
Blocked punt. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You had a long pass from you had a Deshaun Watson explosive play. You had a blocked punt. You had a lot of things going to Texans' favor to get there. But still, that roster, for me, from a team-building standpoint, it didn't look like a very explosive roster other than
– first of all, it was –
this is the first year without D-Hop, by the way. You still had D-Hop in that game.
Oh, yeah. No, but that was the division winner – And it was smoking. I remember that was when we were like, everybody was like, oh, they ain't that good. They're just not that good. And then all of a sudden they're up 24-0 on the Chiefs. And it's like,
on the future Super Bowl champ.
Holy crap. This team is. And then I don't know. Is there a bigger precipitous fall? Is there a bigger fall from.
What if I said Falcons, who are this close to winning a Super Bowl? And then where they fell
off. But to the worst team in
now,
the NFL?
No, they still have talent.
Yeah.
There's still talent around them. It's just a pretty big fall to go from Super Bowl to not that competitive anymore. But the Texans, and there was a longer, there's been a longer run of non-competitive football for the Falcons, right? There's been a longer run since that Super Bowl. So it's a more extended run. In terms of, but they've had Julio Jones, they've had Calvin Ridley, they have Matt Ryan. The Texans don't even have talent. They don't even have plus NFL talent. Your best player right now is Laremy Tunsil. It's Deshaun Watson, technically. Followed by Laremy Tunsil, followed by, I have no idea.
Who is the next best player?
I guess it's Zach Cunningham. I guess. And I'm just doing that off of stats. I don't think Zach would replace most inside linebackers for playoff teams. I really don't. I don't think he's
Brandon Cooks might be.
Yeah, it might be Brandon Cooks. It might be Brandon Cooks, the third best. And then probably, I think from a skill standpoint, it's probably Brandon Cooks and, if he's healthy, Brandon Cooks and then Zach.
If Laremy...
That's your big four. Play the big four game. Use those big four, knowing that one of them's never going to be a Texan again.
You can't count Deshaun.
Okay.
Your best player is Laremy Tunsil.
Okay, then it's Laremy Tunsil, followed by Brandon Cooks, followed by
Zach Cunningham.
Then who's four? Don't just say Justin Reed. We always want to just Justin Reed it based on 3 years.
And here's the thing. With half the team is new, you would think that you signed all these free agents that one of them would be a really good player that you could name and say.
Oh, maybe Desmond King. Maybe Desmond King would be your fourth best.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Shaq Lawson, to be honest.
What about Roby?
Yeah, you know what? It might be Roby.
How is he going to be without steroids this
okay,
year?
Let's say Roby 4 and let's say...
King 5.
Let's say those are your five best players. Take any random average NFL team that's not even that great. I'll throw you...
No. There's no team. And the only one that is comparable is Detroit.
You want to look at Washington?
Oh, Washington has got a much better...
Washington would blow them away. Cowboys would blow them away. I think the Eagles are an interesting... You know, the Eagles are very slowly bleeding talent, too. Where guys are, you could question that. But let's just take a look at the Jets.
The Lions are the only team.
Well, let's look at the Jets. The Jets are the the reigning weakest team. They now have Corey Davis, who would be one of their five. They have Mekhi Becton, young player, who would be one of their big five. You have Carl Lawson, who would be one of their big five. Quinnen Williams, who would be in their big five.
Oh, yeah.
Good. C.J. Mosley, who would be in their big five. And then would I knock anyone out? I would argue that Marcus May might have a chance also.
Well, Zach Wilson is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, and he hadn't played a game, but yeah. And Marcus May. So even if I don't add Zach Wilson, I can easily get there. Can get five better than the Texans. Not substantially better, but it's better. Corey Davis, Quinnen Williams. These pretty good players, two of them. Carl Lawson, who is their free agent. And I didn't even mention Jamison Crowder. I mean, Jamison Crowder, I didn't mention first-round guard Elijah Vera Tucker. I mean...
No, so you have to, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, that's how deep I can get, even with the Jets, of all teams. The Jaguars, you don't even want to play the game with the Jaguars. The Jaguars is a team that will beat you,
too. Forget about it. That's silly. That's not even close.
The Detroit Lions, when I look at them, legitimately no wide receiver. I guess you'd say Taylor Decker, maybe Frank Ragnow, maybe Penei Sewell. But see, they're building an offensive line. So there's three guys. Running back, DeAndre Swift has to prove it, but he's got a chance. Their defensive line is Romeo Okwara keeps putting up stats. He keeps putting up sack stats. I don't know how he does it.
Trey Flowers.
I mean, they got guys who are a little
Jamie
bit better.
Jamie Collins.
Yeah, but he's also... He's on journeyman status. I mean, he's moving around a lot. So they clearly, I mean, there's a reason you say they're number two.
No, that's the only, the Lions are the only
but
one
they have
comparable.
Jeff Okuda also, who they're waiting to see. I would say they have better young players. I'm on Ross St. Brown. But that's why you say they're the two worst. So the Texans.
Yeah, but they've been, and here's the deal. Adele is a liar, and he says that the Texans are the Lions organization. That's stupid.
Sure they are.
They've been doing this for a long time. This is a bad organization.
The Lions. Yeah.
The Texans are new to this. Although, let's not forget, they did have a 2-win season right after they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl. The year they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl with Matt Schaub and his pick six run, that was a Super Bowl pick by a lot of people, and they won two games. So we're not that far
removed. That might be the fall of grace. That might be one of the biggest falls. Yes. But you still actually had a young J.J. Watt on that team.
Yeah.
You still actually had Arian Foster on that team. You had some offense. You had lost. You still had Dwayne Brown. So it's actually not even comparable because they were able to bounce back a little bit the next year. This is as far as precipitous a fall. Now, I would say those teams had they were a little light on the depth and the depth of the mid-level talent, the Texans teams that were winning with Bill O'Brien. But right now what you look at is a team with no NFL, like relatively no NFL talent relative to all the other teams. It's going to be the worst roster, which means it's a longer climb, and you can't – Miami did something with their picks. You don't want to do it like the Raiders, where you have all these picks, and now 2 years later, they're questioning, oh my God, what did we do with Cleveland Farrell? And is Jonathan Abrams the right guy? And what are we, you know, what about this pick and that pick? The Houston Texans, when they move to Deshaun Watson, they're going to get picks. They got to hit with those picks. And they got to hit with their first round pick next year. They had, it's just not up for debate. The Rockets have to hit at number two, and the Texans at number one are going to have to hit.
It's one out of 22 guys on the field, though. I mean, it's like in football, you got to hit with your, every once in a while. Wouldn't it be great if they hit a third rounder or a fourth rounder once in a while?
It's been a while.
What? I mean, don't teams actually
We thought Reed was, and then now we're not sure. But it's been a little while since they killed that. I mean, Eric Winston was a third, and that's, you know, when you get that, it ends up being relatively inexpensive for the first 4 years. And then you get a deal done after that. And when you, when you look at the total cost of a player over a 7 to 8 year career, you're like, yeah, we had a good player for a reasonable amount of money. That's why you got to hit the third and fourth.
Well, do you have any, John Schneider, he hit on Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor. Those are fifth-round picks. Uh-huh. Fifth
but
round.
But he hit at a level that was out. You know, Bobby Wagner was the second who turned into an all-pro. Like, he was hitting at he was hitting like Michael Brantley.
I mean, yes.
I mean, he was raking all over the field for about four years. What,
Nick's going to do that, and Nick we trust.
But all you have to do is do that for a three-year run, and you can build a superpower.
Yes.
And Russell Wilson was the best of all.
Yes, a third-rounder.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's going to be one of the great runs in history is that draft, the drafting he did in the early 2010s, you know, the drafting he did for about 4 years ended up setting him up for monster success.
And we got Bill O'Brien. Congratulations to us.
Well, not anymore, we don't.
No, we did, and look what he did. Oh, he put together
your best third rounder.
He put together the Orioles.
Okay, you said third or fourth rounders. Kahale Warren was a third rounder. The year before that, it was Martinez Rankin, Justin Reed. Wow. I mean, Rankin was gone after 2 years. Jordan Akins and Kiki QT in the fourth. I'm reading third and fourth. Deontay Foreman. I mean, we're talking about huge busts. Julian Davenport, Carlos Watkins. Watkins should have never been a fourth. Tyler Irvin, Braxton Miller. Holy crap, this is terrible. These are guys who didn't even get through a rookie contract.
No. How many guys are in the league? Not let alone on the team. How many are in the league?
No, Jalen Strong, Keith Mumphrey. No, Mumphrey was the fifth rounder.
Who?
No, seriously. Holy crap. Tom Savage, terrible. Louis Nix, RIP. No, he got shot. He's not RIP. He did get shot. He didn't get killed. Remember, he got shot on the...
He didn't even make the team.
No, he didn't even make the team. He got cut for fat. Tom Savage. Okay, I got to keep going back. Let me find some place where I can... Was Brennan Williams good?
Trust your first...
The offensive lineman?
Trust your first instinct. Louis Nix is dead.
Oh, he is dead.
Yes. Rest in peace.
Yeah, so definitely RIP to him. I mean, John, I'm going back, and this is on Rick, too. Holy crap. Okay, found one. Brandon. So Ben Jones, fourth.
Ben Jones had played in
the league. Ben Jones has been a player for a long time. Brandon Brooks, player for a long time. So you got to go all the way back to 2012 to get Brandon Brooks and Ben Jones. And this is why you don't have depth.
Congratulations.
Like the mid-level depth that I talked about. Jared Crick. Okay, let's go. Ever since 2012, this is what it's looked like. Brennan Williams, Sam Montgomery, Trevardo Williams.
I'm just reading everybody.
C.J. Fedorowicz, Louis
I'm heavier Nicks, than Trevardo Williams, Tom, and he was a defensive end.
C.J. Fedorowicz, Louis Nix, Tom Savage, Jalen Strong, Braxton Miller, Tyler Irvin. I'm not leaving anyone.
Is there any one of those guys? Name the guys that lasted more than 3 years in the NFL.
I can't. With the Texans. Not 3 years.
No, in the NFL.
You might be right. Deontay Foreman, Julian Davenport is still in the NFL. So Carlos Watkins, Julian Davenport, Deontay Foreman, 2018 Martinez Rankin, Justin Reed, Jordan Akins, Kiki QT. Last year, year before, it was Kahale Warren. 2020, it's Jonathan Greenard, Charlie Heck, John Reed. I mean, that doesn't look good right now at all. And this year you got Nico Collins and Davis Mills. I mean, this is a run of absolute atrocity in the middle rounds where your value is built so that you can afford to pay more to other positions that you want to hang on to. You build value and you get your discounts, your discount players by drafting well in the third and fourth round. This is really staggering to see them this bad. The joke has always been about how bad they were in the second round. But when you're this bad in the third and fourth and guys don't even make it to their through their rookie contract.
Or make the team.
They don't even make the team or make it through your rookie the rookie contract. You are throwing away opportunities for inexpensive mid-level talent.
There is no inexpensive mid-level talent on this team. There's no young talent. Zero. All right. And they're huge underdogs, aren't they, Lance?
I can tell you this. Yes, you are. But my team, let me pull it up right now. I play yesterday in Underdog Fantasy. I won in basketball. I won a couple in basketball. I lost in some head-to-heads in a rivalry matchup, which is you pick basically you have over-unders on points scored or points, rebounds, assists. And I had the wrong side. I tried to play. I did have the right side with Trae Young against Giannis, but then I had the wrong side with the other two. I tried to make it a three-teamer. This is a great opportunity for you to get involved with daily fantasy, with season-long fantasy, or with pick'ems where you have a pick'em where you can it has to be more than one, but you can do over-unders for points, rebounds, assists. For the NBA, you do total bases. I had Carlos Correa in one of my team matchups and a baseball matchup I had. They had baseball and basketball. I combined the two, and I won that one yesterday. I actually picked up like $60 yesterday in wins. One was in a three-man tournament. One was in a head-to-head tournament, and I won a $25 head-to-head tournament. Let me tell you, there's so many ways that you can win good money by having a great skill at picking, you know, being understanding sports, knowing basketball, knowing football, knowing baseball, knowing hockey. They have hockey on there as well. All you have to do is go to Underdog Fantasy, put the promo code radio in. You're going to get a $25 bonus cash into your account with your first deposit. And then you can use that to play Best Ball Mania 2, which is a fantasy football league that's going to be coming up where it's an entire season-long event. And that has $3.5 million in prizes. Terms and conditions apply, but make sure you check out the new kid on the block that is knocking it out of the park on a daily basis, underdogfantasy.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. 820, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on the show. Keith says, I'm replying to him. He says, draft Green and then try to package the other two first rounders, move up and draft Davion Mitchell. It ain't like the NFL. 23 and 24, picks 23 and 24 in the NBA have, as a matter of fact,
they use those to get rid of, to offload bad contracts.
Yeah. There's very little to value in 23 and 24. No, I mean, go get up to seven. AJ and Fred thinks it would take Christian Wood and one of those picks to get the seventh pick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want Davion Mitchell more than you want Christian Wood?
I don't think so. I like Davion Mitchell, though.
I do, too.
I mean, I think, you know, the more I think about it, especially when you start factoring in injury, I think it is maybe the more I think about it worthy of discussion. Because I don't think Christian Wood's untradeable. I hardly think that. If you knew Christian Wood was going to be healthy all the time, I do think the productivity is something that should catch your eye. He can shoot from distance. He can rebound. He is a consistent performer. He's a very consistent performer. He's not up and down. I don't think he's a guy you build a team around. I do think he's a piece, a good piece, and he is one of the things you need to have, which is an athletic front court player. So, to me, I'm not in a big hurry to get rid of Christian Wood, but I also, you know, I'm kind of like you. Like, I will defer in some ways to what AJ sees. I know he watches a lot of college basketball because he gambles on a lot of college basketball. But so maybe I would tell you, my guess is AJ watched a lot more college basketball than he watched Rockets, than he watched Christian Wood. I don't know how much he actually watched Christian Wood because the Rockets were so inconsequential the entire year. But I'm sure he's seen a lot of Davion Mitchell, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
He's seen a lot of him, and I know he's a good player.
Davion Mitchell came on strong, though. It was thought that Butler was their best player. He was the conference player of the year. And then all of a sudden, it's like, holy crap, Davion Mitchell is unbelievable.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's the question. I guess the injuries are. I thought Christian Wood was one of the great values in the league last year.
He was,
but not if he can't stay on the court.
Well, that's it. Value is relative to your ability to stay available. But he had an injury that was slow to heal. But if it starts becoming now, I found a site where it has Christian Wood's injury. It has Christian Wood's injury history. And it's primarily, there's some in 19, there's some in, remember, he's not been a full-time player for all that long. But there are injuries in 20, and then plenty of injuries in 21. Mostly knee and ankle, that's what you get. But if he can't get right, that's a concern. I was happy for him not to get right this year. We were cheering for Christian Wood to not come back.
Yeah. No,
not now.
Wanted the no. Now we want him.
Now I need an iron. I need an Iron Man now.
Yeah. Now we want him. Now we want him out there. I'm watching Jalen Green play with Dream Shake. Sent us a video, Christian, of Jalen Green playing with Booker and KD, and they've got he has huge.
Dream Shake
had
a video of KD doing something.
Yeah,
that was weird. So talking
Stop, get off of chat. Why you always got to give Dream Shake?
Because he's always
the
KD. He is.
He loves KD.
So talking about, you know, I ask an NBA guy about G League comp versus NBA comp, and he thinks that there'd be a small shade to G League comp relative to. Now it depends on what type of teams you see. Like facing Baylor, you had some pretty good competition that Jalen Suggs saw against Baylor. And he was the only one playing against Baylor. Everyone else stunk against Baylor, but and had a real problem. But Jalen Green, you know,
you had NBA players.
It's a little more wide open. But yeah, you do have some good. You have some guys that aren't good enough, and you have some guys that are. But remember, in college basketball, just like in college football, there are a lot of guys. The idea that could the Jaguars or could the Jets even beat? You know, the only time it starts to get a little tricky for me now is when you look at how many players Alabama's cranking out into the pros in the first round. And so it gets a little.
Yeah. It
makes
still,
you think a little bit more, but yeah, there's
man
plenty,
versus boy.
There's plenty of guys on college football teams and college basketball teams who will never have any chance of seeing an NFL or NBA.
No,
court. Never.
The vast majority.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hate seeing vast majority of Alabama.
No, that's the only one.
Yeah. Because it feels like a vast majority will play NFL football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 25 past the hour, 713-780-3776.
Hey, so Chris Paul's back.
Chris Paul is back.
He's listed as probable.
Yeah.
But Underdog Fantasy has him as like the number five player in their two-game tournament for basketball, playoff basketball. Here's my question. I do wonder if there will be an adjustment period. It's only been two games, but will Chris Paul be, how will his win be? He's been out for, you know, the last week or so. Has he been able to keep his wind up? Has he been fatigued? He had the shot, so maybe he isn't as fatigued or the symptoms aren't as bad. Supposedly they say he's been symptom free for the last few days, but he's still in protocol. So will it change, you know, the dynamics of how often Booker has the ball in his hands? Well, clearly it will. Will that bother Booker at all? who played great with Chris Paul at point guard. I think the one thing that would be curious is Cam Payne has been terrific. There's going to be less of Cam Payne. So is Chris Paul. And
still
I would argue
a lot of possessions,
but
though.
He's quicker, though. He's a lot quicker than Chris Paul is. Quicker to the basket. He's harder to guard. I think from the top of the key, Cam Payne is harder to keep in front of you than Chris Paul. It's not even arguable. So how does that change? But Chris is a more professional, you know, is a more professional matchup. But I thought that they really struggled to keep Cam Payne out of the paint. Like, he was able to get in there fairly easily. I'm interested to see what happens when Chris Paul has to deal with Patrick Beverley heckling him. And although Beverley played a lot on Devin Booker, but, you know, you may see Pat Bev hacking him and you know, get Chris Paul pissed off, because Chris can get a little salty too. So I wonder if, I'll bet you're going to see Beverley.
Well, they're going to be in each other's face.
Oh, it's going to be, Beverly's going to be trying to play the irritant role to Chris Paul right off the bat.
Right. All right, 28 after, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Got to feel bad for Jay Williams. We will tell you why. Man, you gotta change your password. You really have to change your password, because stuff could happen.
Yep.
Next, right here. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Jay Will, who's on the show before us, I don't know if they gave him the business about it, but he tweeted out, by the way, yeah, the Celtics have hired Udoka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ime Udoka.
He is going to be the Celtics' next head coach. And Jay Will was really happy about it. He tweeted out the first head coach of color for the Celtics. And even more importantly,
he said, one talented individual who has paid his dues.
Yeah.
And he's the first head coach of color for the Celtics.
No,
and he was more than just first head coach. He said he's paid his dues. He's a talented individual.
Here's what he said. The first head coach of color for the Celtics, and even more importantly, he is one talented individual who has paid his dues. And then came the deluge.
Let's fact check that real quick.
Okay.
Because he might be right. Let me look at basketball. Well, I'm going to look at Basketball Reference to see if he's right.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay.
Red Auerbach.
Okay, technically.
Go through their coaches.
Started Red Auerbach, and then we get 1966, you had Bill Russell. Is Bill Russell black?
Yeah.
Well, he's a person of color.
Yeah, but he's...
Okay.
I don't know.
Also, in Boston, Tom Satch Sanders in 78. Okay, but then, well, Casey Jones won titles in 84 and 86.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ML Carr was there for 2 years also in 95, 97. Oh, I forgot about Doc Rivers. He was only there 9 years. So Doc Rivers, 9 years.
But
now, Jay Williams played in the league when Doc Rivers was, unless Jay's injury got him out of the league, but he should still be in the league when Doc Rivers was there. He watched basketball when ML Carr was a coach for the Celtics. He watched it more than likely when Casey Jones was winning titles with Larry Bird, et cetera, et cetera. He'd been young, but still. Now, this is the tricky thing. This is a guy who's a former NBA player, who's an NBA commentator right now, and who has a sports talk show or whatever. For you to miss Doc Rivers, I can understand Satch Sanders, maybe you forget Bill Russell. You know, that's something where...
ML Carr, I mean, all these guys?
Maybe
Casey
even,
Jones?
Maybe even ML Carr. Satch Sanders, yeah, I could see somebody in 1966. Yeah, Bill
I don't
Russell.
Remember Satch Sanders.
I see that. No. Maybe you're not a basketball historian. Doc Rivers was there 9 years. You played in the league when Doc was there. You were in games against Doc Rivers as a head coach. So is there... So what happened with Jay Williams? What did he say?
As it relates to the Boston Celtics tweet...
And he got nailed after saying that. Everyone goes, dude... You know,
as it relates to the Boston Celtics tweet that came from my account a couple of hours ago, I did not post that, and my passcode has now been changed. He was hacked. And somebody came in and wanted to make it look like he was applauding the Boston Celtics for finally hiring an African-American, a person of color.
Now, a guy named Russ Bingston, and I don't know who he is, but he's got a check mark. He says, okay, I'll admit it. I was the one who hacked Jay Williams' Twitter account in order to post one factual inaccurate tweet. It's kind of my thing.
Thank you. We have a culprit. And to be fair to Jay, he was hurt and never actually played a game while Doc Rivers was the coach.
Oh, okay. So he was already done by then. He came in the league same time as Yao
in
2002.
Out in 04.
Well, maybe
his
motorcycle accident, he lost all memory from 1966 through Doc Rivers' reign.
Yeah, Doc Rivers began.
Maybe he was in a coma from 04 to 13 when Doc was there.
Could have been.
I don't know. Jay Williams is in a coma, though.
I don't know. I just think we need to realize that he said he got hacked, so all of your theories about comas.
Remember, all you have to do is say hacked.
So he never actually wrote the tweet anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He was hacked.
He was.
What are the odds that you think he was hacked?
Zero.
I think he shot off the top of his head and didn't think.
He had this word scramble of in his head, Boston, racist city. I don't know where else he could have gone. Why would he ever think?
Brad Stevens, and then who knows? I don't even know who was before Brad Stevens. Probably a white guy. Let me just fire off this tweet.
Yeah.
Probably a series of white guys.
Who was before?
Wasn't it Doc?
Doc.
No, I know. I'm Jay. I'm Jay Williams. Jay couldn't have said that if that was really Jay tweeting that.
This is a guy who covers the game. He would have known.
But
Doc
it was,
Rivers,
yeah,
Coast
it was
Celtics.
Doc, and then it was Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has been there a while. I don't think it was anybody after Doc, was it?
And then there was the Alex Caruso arrest. Apparently, Texas A&M University Police Department confirmed to TMZ that Alex Caruso was arrested for possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Caruso was attempting to board a flight on Tuesday. See, this is so... Have your boys, Alex Caruso. There's got to be some headband guy.
There's got to be some Aggies.
There's
got to
be some Aggie that'll hold your weed.
He was arrested for trying to smuggle a grinder full of weed through TSA. He got arrested. Like, you don't have any Alex Caruso. And I know when you see Alex Caruso, you think there's no chance this guy has
2 ounces of weed.
Boys on his side.
What, yeah. Dude? I mean, 2 ounces? You can't find something wherever you're going? Are you going back to California? Because you can buy weed legally there.
This is what's troubling.
2 ounces? Where are you going that you know how much 2 ounces is?
It's enough.
It's a lot. How much weed does Alex Caruso need?
Here's his jail.
And then what did LeBron say?
You know what that is? That's just him trying to pick up cash. He went in hoping to get arrested so he could be like,
look at,
like as soon as he's in the locker room, well, what up? So I got, man, I got all hemmed up. They had me in. They had your boy.
You think he was trying to build cred?
Bars. Oh, this is a cred building thing. Totally smuggled. Can I bring this pound on? You're arrested. Damn it. I hope the fellas see this.
Well,
you don't know Alex Caruso, he looks like a young Jack Easterby. I don't think that's out of line, is it?
No, it's not. And you could see Jack Easterby playing in a pickup game with a headband on, too.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And Caruso has this. Caruso's better than you think he's going to be. Like, he actually can do some things from time to time. He's not a good player, but he's a bench player for a decent team. I mean, you know, he's better than you think. He's 6'5", 190 pounds.
Oh, he's a contributor. Absolutely.
His address, let's see. He's from Manhattan Beach, California. I guess that's where he lives now. I'm looking at the jail record search detail. But how do you not have... Yeah, I mean, you're in California where you can walk into a ton of dispensaries. They have a place... When I was in Santa Monica, they got MedMen. Instead of MadMen, it's called MedMen. All over the place. And when you go check it out, when you just go in, if you know somebody who would go in, they have people there with iPads. And it's the most like, hello, what can I help you with? What are you looking for here? Would you like more energy? Would you like to concentrate?
Sleep better?
Would you like to sleep? Would you like a deep, restful sleep? Would you like something that's, we've got the different strains. We've got the indica, obviously, and then we've got sativa. And so we basically are going to work that with the different CBD We've got different formulas that we use. Like, it's a bunch of chemists in there. And instead, he tries to take a grinder of 2 ounces. That's what you are in California. What are you doing? This has to be. I'm telling you, this was for cred. He wanted to be able to tell everybody, man, I can't believe Texas weed laws are like that. You see, your boy got popped. No, I didn't see that. I don't keep up with you in the offseason. What happened? Oh, yeah, you know, man. Just like all of us, they got, you know how they do us NBA players? Nah, I mean, I pretty much bring my weed wherever, and then I know the legal states where I can get weed, and I do that.
I mean, you can just go to back to California and get your weed,
yeah, bro. So you were flying back to Cali and got popped with 2 ounces?
So LeBron tweeted out, free Alex Caruso.
There's a hashtag started about free AC or free Caruso. You
know, free Caruso, yeah. Straight cash money.
Yeah, someone tweeted out a video of what would LeBron, when LeBron found out Caruso got arrested. It's a picture of this dude looking at some cat trapped in a,
yeah,
in a store going, I'm gonna get you out, man. And then LeBron quote tweeted, "With straight cash, homie," which that's Randy Moss's quote.
Straight cash, homie. It was a big day on Twitter with Jay Will and Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso, honestly, getting busted for weed, what were the odds? Now, bigger odds, Frank Clark Uzi or Alex Caruso weed?
No, Frank Clark Uzi's always at the
was
top
a
of the
big favorite.
He's always a huge favorite.
Yeah. No, that
Frank
was
Clark automatic or semi-automatic weapon is always a huge favorite in Vegas.
Yeah.
Frank Clark involved with the police. Frank Clark involved with fist fight with teammate. Frank's that guy.
Yeah.
Like, Frank is always going to be that guy. Alex Caruso, weed. All right, he is an NBA player, so you know that weed is probably somewhere in the background. Getting popped trying to bring it on a plane. Like I said, I feel like this is a street cred move. It just feels too stupid. I don't know where he was flying.
2 ounces of weed. Dude.
I do want to find out where he was flying, because if he was flying back to California, then I can't do that.
No, then it is.
What's
all
more believable? That somebody would try to bring weed to California, or that Jay Williams...
From
would,
Texas.
Maybe Jay was hacked? I mean, that seems like an awfully... It seems like you would get off a... Like, no. That would be a clever way to hack, because it would seem like Jay actually did that instead of trying to make some racist comment about the first, the first black head coach in Celtics history, obviously, because there's never been a coach of color. Somebody else reminded me, too. Wasn't Don Chaney also there?
Don Chaney was there, too? Holy crap. They've got, and listen, the biggest racist city, sports city in the world is Boston. And they had the first African-American head coach in Bill Russell. The first, 1966.
No, Chaney played. He was never a coach.
Unbelievable. A great day on Twitter yesterday. 842 ESPN 97.5.
Great day on Twitter.
Let's get Greg and Forrest. You guys are going to be first up when we get to the other side. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 845 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Greg's been waiting a while. Let's get him in here. What's up, Greg? Greg, you there? No, Greg. All right. Forrest is here. Is this my guy, Forrest? Forrest, what's going on?
Hey, John, this is your guy, Forrest.
What up, brother?
Well, I'm on my way to surgery, and I flipped on my favorite morning sports show, and I've been thinking a lot about this whole transgender athlete thing, and I think I have a unique idea on a solution for these women that are getting, you know, trounced by these guys claiming to be women. And you get the exclusive on it this morning. Right?
All right. What you got?
So the way to just eliminate this problem is when the women get up to do their event, whatever it might be, weightlifting or running or whatever, when the gun goes off or it's time to lift the weights, they just don't do it. They get up there, and they walk away. And in my opinion, if enough women would take a stand on this issue about having to compete against men claiming to be women, there would be no more competition because they would just walk away from it, and then suddenly they'd have to create, you know, another category for transgenders.
The problem is that if you did that in the Olympics, this is your whole life, and you've trained your whole life, and you get one or two shots maybe at Olympic gold, and this is something that this is your dream, to just walk away and give that to a transgender. I just don't see that. Now, I think it's unfair. I mean, especially in a weightlifting. For those of you who don't know, a weightlifter from New Zealand, I believe it is, a transgender weightlifter from New Zealand has qualified for the Olympics, and she will compete, was a guy and was a weightlifter, and now is going to compete in the Olympics. And, you know, it absolutely is unfair. Now, we did look, though, right, Del? This transgender person, hasn't won a world championship.
No. In fact, the last world championship finished sixth. So despite what you might believe is an inherent advantage, it hasn't played out as far as the best of the best. I think, what's her name? Lauren, was it?
Lauren, yeah.
Lauren has won titles in lesser events. More regional events for the Oceanic stuff, but as far as an actual world championship, has not won. So
yeah,
there are still women beating her.
If she does win in this Olympics, I think it would create a firestorm, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if she doesn't, it just adds to, well, then for transgenders, it just says, well, I mean, look.
Good luck to the governing bodies dealing with this issue, because that is an issue that is going to be a very, very tough issue for them to work around.
And
just say that.
And the name is Laurel. Laurel Hubbard is
Laurel.
The woman competing.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I don't know. UIL said, right.
UIL had to step in because they thought that was an advantage.
Well,
for
it was
a
huge advantage for a wrestler, yeah.
Yeah, a huge advantage. And an MMA fighter who just pummeled. There was an MMA fighter who was featured on, I'm going to say it was Real Sports. I get it. It's not an easy situation, but have you seen a transgender male competitor succeed in the same events?
Went from female to male.
Have you seen them succeed at a high level? You ever heard of anyone?
No.
I don't think you're going to.
Yeah.
Ever. I think that, you know, to act like there's no physical advantage, that there's not going to be one transgendered athlete who has a physical advantage, based on, and granted, there's, you know, it's a much deeper topic, and I'd rather have this conversation in person so somebody just doesn't try to pretend to get super offended when you can have a legitimate conversation. But the fact is, the governing bodies are going to have some real issues here as it pertains to figuring out how they want to allow people to compete, but at the same time not have any type of advantages that would be considered unnatural, because that's something they fight against with, you know, with, if there's an unusually high level from a testosterone standpoint, you're immediately tested as a male. There's an acceptable level of testosterone for male competitors, for example, and if you go above that, they think that you've got additional testosterone, that something is going on here with your, you know, with you taking substances to give yourself an unfair advantage. There are some levels that are higher, but if you have an exceptionally high level, then that is,
well,
that's considered illegal in men's competition.
Right. And Laurel has passed and has not had those high levels of testosterone for some time now.
Yeah.
Since 2016, I believe it was.
Well, but there has been, I know that there's been talk about what the number should be. Like, maybe right. the number needs to be way lower. I don't know. I don't know. We know that there's been plenty of women competitors who have had higher testosterone levels because of some of the cheating, for example, that has gone on, and especially with some of the Eastern Bloc countries. But yeah, this is going to be a very, very tricky situation. It has not turned into a big deal at this point relative to nationally, because it hasn't had an impact at the highest levels like in the Olympics. When that happens, though, it'll be a really big deal. It'll be a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a lot of people who will want to say something but feel like they can't for fear of repercussions. And then it's, yeah, y'all, good luck with that, y'all. Good luck. That's not going to be, I'll be sitting here just sipping some water and doing draft stuff.
Well, speaking of which.
Ooh, I got to look at a linebacker from Boise.
Speaking of which, did you see LeBron's comments back in 2007 about homosexuality? It's a 2007 interview with LeBron, who says, with teammates, you have to be trustworthy. And if you're gay and you're not admitting that you are, then you are not trustworthy. So that's like the number one thing as teammates. We all trust each other. You've heard of the in-room locker room code. What happens in the locker room stays in there. It's a trust factor, honestly, a big trust factor. You know, I don't know if he's, I don't know. There's a certain, now this is coming out now, but I guess it came out because of John Amici. And there were all kinds of responses from different players that were not exactly, all that socially acceptable today.
Really?
This is, yeah. Yeah.
Like, give us some.
Well, Shavlik Randolph said, as long as you don't bring your gayness on me, I'm fine.
That's the former Duke.
Shavlik Randolph. I forgot Duke about forward, that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as business-wise, I'm sure I could play with him, but I think it would create a little awkwardness in the locker room.
Shavlik just said, as long as you don't hit on me, we're good. Is that what he's been saying?
Okay. Stephen Hunter, for real? He's gay for real? Nowadays, it's proven that people can live double lives. I watch a lot of TV, so I see a lot of sick, perverted stuff about married men running around with gay guys and all types of foolishness.
Stephen Hunter. Who? And what did LeBron say?
And LeBron said, you can't trust a guy if he's gay and doesn't admit it.
And this is...
This was back in 2007.
Has he walked that back yet?
I don't know if he's...
Because that's basically kind of shaming somebody who's in the closet.
Yeah, somebody who's... not brave enough.
He needs to walk that back.
Yeah, right.
Well, it has to be presented with it. I doubt that he will even be questioned about it.
No.
It's not even questioned.
It's 14 years ago. I don't think he's going to be questioned about it.
What are you talking about? We question everybody
hasn't been questioned before, why would it be questioned now? Because of NASA?
Well, because of Carl Nassib.
Well, good luck. It's been days. Has anyone brought it up to LeBron yet?
Well, is LeBron around?
Well, he's on Twitter at least.
Yeah. No, yeah. He's trying to free Alex Caruso. So, but he's busy right now freeing Alex Caruso.
Let's see.
Trying to catch the real drug dealer.
See, LeBron said, this is what LeBron said in 2007 in an article.
Yeah.
He said, it's hugely important for kids so they don't feel alone in a world where, that's Martina Navratilova. Because LeBron said that he didn't think, here, let me pull this up. He didn't think that a openly gay player could survive in the NBA.
I tell you, it's going to be difficult.
He said, with
for the
teammates,
Raiders.
You have to be trustworthy. And if you're gay and you're not admitting that you are, then you're not trustworthy. Yeah. So that's like the number one thing is teammates. We all trust each other. You heard of the in-room locker room code? What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. It's a trust factor, honestly, a big trust factor. So that is, I'm surprised he hasn't been. I'm surprised he hasn't been called out on that, just in the way the call-out culture is.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't been called out and he's had to apologize or say he's grown or done the work or whatever. It's not like there's nothing. I don't see anything about this at all where LeBron has been. Somebody had that. You just mentioned his quote. Like, somebody dug it up.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody. Yeah. Tyler Conway. dug it up.
Was there an article?
I don't know. There was an that was the quote in the article in 2007. So Tyler Conway, I don't know how Tyler Conway remembered it or whatever. It's 8:56 ESPN 97.5. Dell said something really, really dumb yesterday, but was it dumber than...
When did I say that was dumb yesterday?
Was it dumber than Hungary, France?
Hold on. Let's get to what you said. What did I say that was so dumb?
No, it's a tease.
We can get to the story on the other side, but what did I say that was so dumb?
You said this was... Okay, you want to know what you said dumb yesterday? This was quite possibly Cristiano Ronaldo's last game.
I didn't say last game. I said major tournament.
Last international.
I said last major tournament.
Last major tournament. Dumb.
How so?
Because that's all he does is score goals.
I didn't say it was his last.
And carry his team.
See, now you're just making stuff up. I didn't say it was his last game.
That's the dumbest thing. Have you ever watched a soccer game in your life?
I said it could be his last major tournament. Ever. What does scoring a goal yesterday have to do with it being maybe his last major tournament?
Because he carries the team, and the team will advance.
That doesn't mean they will advance for qualifying the World Cup, which is what I was talking about, tournament.
What about this tournament?
I didn't say anything about this
tournament. You said this could be his last one.
I said it could be his last major tournament.
And that's dumb.
But
it can't be dumber.
You think he's going to play forever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, no, that's dumb.
Because he continues to carry an entire country.
You're trying to hit me up like TSA did to Alex Caruso, and you're wrong.
You're carrying 2 ounces of weed like a dumbass.
I'm not.
Through an A&M airport.
No, I know I'm going back to
College
California.
College Station Airport.
I know I'm flying back to California. I don't have any weed on me.
No. Your weed is, you think Cristiano Ronaldo is dumb. Is done.
I didn't say he was done.
Yeah. Okay.
You made all of this up.
All right. So instead, what about France and Hungary fans?
Well, we'll talk about that on the other side while you walk back what you said like LeBron should.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.